Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Advocacy and Gospel News for the Persecuted Church. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Advocacy broadcast for the Persecuted Church is not a call-in show. It's a fast-moving gospel news program. All correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Wednesday, September 18th, 2019, and our scripture reading for this week is found in Deuteronomy chapter 26, starting at verse 1 through chapter 29, verse 9, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 22, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 13, verses 1 through chapter 15, verse 27, also Acts chapter 7, verses 30 through 36. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. On Twitter, look for hashtag WatchmanIS216 and also hashtag WarnRadio. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, or I already said Twitter, sorry, LinkedIn. You can listen to all our shows from warn-usa.com and also danaglennsmith.com. I want you to take time to read the pertinent articles by The Watchman and pass them along to your friends. And you can read those by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. This week, we feature articles by The Watchman, Vanity of Kingdoms and the Lust of Travail. In the Vanity of Kingdoms, we find that in the end, the lust of travail will prevail. In spite of having it all, hedonism and a free spirit to indulge will find you trouble every time. Here we look at a special written prose to reveal the deep message within, a message to America and the nations, yet one pertinent to every person on this planet. We all face the anxieties of these end of days, and there is only one cure. Also, heaven's victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we have heaven's victory. The gates of hell shall never prevail. In Jesus' name, there is a firm hope for all people everywhere. Yet, we are living in a day and age so wicked, the righteous cannot survive. At the very least, that is what many seem to believe. So go to warn-usa.com. And danaglennsmith.com, and there you can listen to all the shows and read the articles, and please pass them on to your family and friends. And we thank you for doing that. Before I invite the watchman in, here's a word.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
And now I invite the watchman to join us.
Greetings.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Yep. Well, at any rate, I'm trying to find something here.
Okay. So tonight on our show, our advocacy group news, we cover China persecutes, India the faith, tech preachers, Christians in peril. Is Mideast war close? Coming to America, persecution, advocacy, and more prophecy news as we have time.
Well, I'll tell you, there seems to be something missing from my stuff here. I don't know what happened to it.
Hmm.
Oh, there we go. I found it.
Oh,
good
well,
deal.
That's good.
Oh, I know. I know. Well, at any rate, we're here. And, oh, man, I don't even want to look, but I just did. It's past halfway through this month already.
Well, I know. It's the 18th. I can hardly believe how fast it's gone.
Well, and then you said that today, the CBN was talking about the winter. Well, up in Wyoming, the winters are always frosty and cold. So announcing the fact that they're going to be frosty and cold and snowy is not new for us.
But maybe it's more extreme this coming year.
That is not what the title said, and I'm going to take it as that. We are not interested in hearing any amplification on this matter. We're interested in, well, it
sunshine.
Would be nice. Sunshine, it can snow in the mountains, it can pile up there. And, well, anyway, such is life in the fast lane, living in this neck of the woods. And,
yeah.
You know, the first thing, I'm going to do this, and then we're going to go to that story up front that we want to talk about. So let me do this. And I wanted to talk about the word abomination. You know, there's a lot of abomination going on in the world today and
Boy,
in America.
That's for sure. Yes, sir.
And in the English, that word means exceptionally loathsome, hateful, sinful, wicked, or vile. And when we talk about aspects of what is happening in the world today, there's a lot of things that are loathsome, sinful, wicked, and vile, all wrapped up in that word abomination. Now, you see, the only thing that makes the news anymore, it seems like, well, you know, such and such was looking for the abominable snowman. But we don't believe in abomination in the world. The other word that we want to focus on is persecution, hostility and ill treatment because or especially because of race, political, or religious beliefs. And that is what we talk about when we're talking about persecution, advocacy, or advocacy for the persecuted church. Talking about Christian believers around the world, and we've covered just about every nation, a lot of the nations, where this is going on, including in America. And we've got a story coming up that Tower is going to be leading on this. So be prepared, Tower, and I will jump in. And this has to do with an attempt to confront two Christian young women and make them do something against their faith. Very important in America. But first up, I want to talk about John, and I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name, but it's C-A-O. I don't know if it's Chow or K-O or what, but he is a permanent U.S. resident. But you see, he's been in jail for 2.5 years, and the ACLJ has been representing him at the UN and with China. And what has been going on is that he has been in jail, and he's going to be transferred to the Kunming prison to serve the remainder of his 7-year sentence. And he was helping people and not doing anything, but they in turn got him for a severe violation that brought on that. And this is not unusual for China. But this guy has been doing it for a long time. He's in prison. And the ACLJ, American Civil Liberties Union, is going to the UN. And they're going to try to pressure China to release him. Now, this is important. Now, Jay Sekulow and his team, this is a ministry, a legal ministry. And, of course, you can give to them to help them, as which a lot of people do, because they are defending your rights as well as the rights around the world. The other one that's real important is the Judicial Watch. Both of those organizations work all the time to ensure our freedoms and freedoms around the world. Now, another thing I wanted to talk about. Now, when we talk about the genocide and various problems that go on, even during the 2014-2015 ISIS escapade, we were talking about the Kurds. We were talking about the Christians there. We were talking about the Yazidis. There were other minority Muslims. ISIS killed a lot of everybody. But they created a genocide with the Yazidis, and they created a genocide with the Christians. Those were their targets. And they gave the Muslims a chance to join them, and there were some groups of Muslims they just killed. Now, when we get into China, their persecution of those of faith is any faith. Now, there's one major group, the Uyghurs, the U-Y-G-H-U-R, and Amnesty International has brought it to the attention of the world that a particular Uyghur is slated for persecution in China. He worked as a geographer and was the president of Xinjiang University prior to his arrest and was taken into custody during a trip to Germany in 2017. And his brother said of him, that he was an educator, devoted his life to knowledge, instructing younger generations. He had many successes in his academic life, and the Chinese government even lauded his achievements. However, the same people who praised him shamelessly accused him of as a separatist and handed him a death sentence with a 2-year reprieve. Now, this is what China does. And there are a major groups of Muslims up there in this community of Uyghurs. And I'm not sure I'm saying that right. But the bottom line of it is that we don't want to see any group persecuted by China in this manner. And that's all there is to it. And Amnesty International has brought this up, so we wanted to, you know, you need to pray for this group. Pray that, you know, that the good Lord would save them if they don't know him, and that they would come to know Yeshua, Jesus Christ. But when you're talking about China, they are absolutely don't care who they prosecute. Not at all. Now, with that, we want to go right into this next one. It's called Free to Communicate Their Beliefs. So are you ready?
Yes. This is a story about Joanna Duca and Brianna Kofsky. I've talked about these girls before. I didn't know their names until today. But they were threatened. They were under threat for jail time of 6 months, $25,000 in fines and 3 years of probation for every day the city would fine them in violation of this law. And back in 2018, April, I believe it was June of 2018, the Arizona Court of Appeals ruled against these two artists, noting that anti-discrimination ordinances are not aimed at the suppression of speech, but the elimination of discriminatory conduct. They felt that they were being discriminated towards a gay couple, and the law made it illegal for business owners to deny service to same-sex couples on the basis of religion. And this these girls specialized in creating custom artwork using hand paintings, hand lettering, and calligraphy to celebrate weddings and other events. And Duca and Koski say they serve anyone regardless of sexual preference, but they draw the line at producing custom messages that violate their Christian belief. And the Alliance for Defending Freedom attorneys represented the two artists, and they filed the suit against the city because it interprets the law in a way that illegally controls artistic expression and disregards religious liberty. The court agreed and found that the law violates the freedom of Duca and Koski to express messages consistent with their religious beliefs through their custom wedding invitations. And so that was a real victory that the Arizona court found that the Phoenix law violates Duca and Koski's free speech protection under the state constitution and their free exercise rights under Arizona's Free Exercise of Religion Act. So I was really thankful that these girls received the victory and they no longer have to worry about going to jail or being on probation or paying fines. So that's I'm glad. I'm thankful that the city can't enforce its ordinance against them anymore.
You know, you do find this in America a lot. You find it especially in California, Washington, Oregon, along the coast.
Colorado.
A lot of the liberal areas, Colorado. We've reported on these issues regarding Christians and especially radical the LGBTQ group targets Christians and tries to get them into trouble. But the thing of it is that the law is beginning to see the truth in all these things. And nobody had cared about any of the Christian beliefs at all. And so the bottom line of it is, it's a big issue in this country. But these two young ladies need to be able to do what they do. And they need to be left alone to do it. And that's all there
that's
is
right.
to it. And we're glad that.
I'm thankful the Lord came to their aid and defended them.
And, you know, that's exactly what these groups like Alliance Defending Freedom, the ACLJ, and many others do. They come to the aid of people like this to help them out. Because these people know how to take on cities. So we are happy with this. We're glad this turned out for them, and we wish the girls well. And so that, we want to go back to another story. And I came across this, and nothing surprises me. I've tried to warn people about technology. I tried to warn them about where we're headed. I didn't try. I did warn. Whether or not you listen, that's up to you.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I've been warning all along. I didn't try. I just did. And whether you listen, that's up to you. I can't make you listen any more than I could make my kids listen. That is, unless I discipline them and things. But, you know, that's how God gets Christians to listen when they don't want to listen. He disciplines them. The Lord himself says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So at any rate, this comes from Sputnik News. Now, I don't know if that has anything at all to do with Russia. But when I think of Sputnik, I think of Russia. But at any rate, the story comes out of China. I mean, out of Japan. And it centers around Buddhism. And they've got a mechanical priest who has begun conducting Buddhist prayers in Japan. Now, they have tried to do something like this. And of course, I suppose it's hard to find some Buddhist guy to sit there for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and recite prayers. So they've got this Buddhist mechanical priest that'll sit there and do the work for them. And his name, the name is called Mindar, and he's been conducting prayers in a 400-year-old Buddhist temple in Tokyo. The million-dollar robot is made of steel, silicone, and features a distinctively featureless and androgynous face of synthetic skin. And contrary to its sexless appearance, the robot speaks in a female voice. It was designed by a Japanese company, Hiroshi, and then I'm not going to attempt the last name. But the Japanese have been very big in robots of every kind. So this should not be surprised that we see this, you know, in some form around the world. Now, Catholic Christians may soon find spiritual advice as well from a robot that is 40 centimeters and is developed by another Japanese university. But at any rate, he's perfected it, I guess, in Peru. And, of course, there's others in Germany. The big thing of it is, folks, is that, you know, if you just want religion, it doesn't matter if you have a robot. But if you want to know the true and the living God, then there is a difference. And you got to go through his son. And you have to receive him, as in John 1. Be born of the Spirit, as in John 3. And confess your sins. And you can read about that, Romans chapter 3 through 7. And you have to walk in his light as he is in the light, 1 John chapter 1. That pretty much describes the overview when we talk about Christianity. It's a relationship. It's not a robot. And even as Christianity, and as we've been doing this over the internet for over two decades now, and we produce our own media, we produce audio, video, we do graphics, we do our websites, and everything like that. And we create out a space for the Lord Jesus Christ online. But online and the social media is not a friend to you. And you cannot replace human relationships or the supernatural God whom we serve with a robot. But be warned. Because in Revelation, there's coming a time when they will make an image of the beast. And what we call the false prophet, this is the second beast in Revelation 13, will cause the world to worship that image. And that image will be robotic, it will be digital, but it will be even more than that. It'll be accompanied with signs and wonders. And I've talked about this before. So make no mistake, that to me, you know, it's the difference between a real true God and the true and living God. I mean, in the fake here. Now, another one I wanted to talk about is, of course, and I don't care whether RuPaul is in drag or not. But, you know, and he says, being in drag will never be mainstream. And he said there's a superficial aspect to drag that people consider cute. Well, the bottom line of it is, he said, You are an extension of the power that created the whole universe. That's drag. We are all God and drag. Now, he may be God and drag, but I'm not God and drag. I am God in and through Jesus Christ. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If we're the son of God, then we are also gods. We haven't achieved that yet, but we are viewed as that, as sons of God. And so when we look at this, this is an abomination. And of course, he was speaking. He was just talking about it. That's fine. I don't care that he said it. I don't care that he's in drag. I don't care that he's popular. I don't care how many Emmys he wins. I don't care how popular his shows are. It makes no difference at all. But see, this is just an example of how flippant today's society is. When I was growing up, you never even heard much at all. I never did in the whole time. Even in the service, when I was in the service, we never heard of anybody in drag. Well, we did hear of a few servicemen that dressed up as women for some reason, and they got busted because they were drunk. I don't know what they were doing. But anyway, but to have drag as a mainstream thing like it is today, we never had that. We didn't have a lot of the things. But at any rate, it doesn't matter.
Still didn't.
RuPaul can do what he does. But when we're talking about God and drag, that's a phrase. That is an abomination. And that's an offense to the true and living God if you're talking about a real God. But see, there are many gods today. And we don't serve just any God. We serve the true and living God. And as Scripture says,
amen,
as the Lord called out Babylon and the others whom he judged, he said, go to your gods and cry to them and see if they can deliver you out of my hands. And they couldn't. So we serve the true and living God. And one day he will judge the gods of the nations. And they will be destroyed.
Yes, he will. Thank God.
So make no mistake, as Christian believers, we know the true and living God. Period. So, with that, we're going to move on. Yeah. And let me see where we're at here.
New churches in India?
India coming... coming to faith despite persecution.
Right. New churches in India. This comes to us from Bibles for Mideast. And about a year ago, Bibles for the Mideast pastor took a team of workers to visit a Hindu village chief and his wife in North India. And the village chief and his wife were married as young teenagers, and the couple had been trying to conceive for 30 years. They prayed according to Hindu beliefs, had visited Hindu temples from north to south, and offered countless offerings to idols, but still, no child. And the pastor shared the saving message of Jesus with them and offered to pray with them. And the chief refused, but his wife, she was as desperate, she agreed, and managed to convince her husband to receive prayer well. When they finished, the pastor prophesied the couple would have a baby boy at the same time next year. He handed them a sample gospel and asked them to read it and pray to Jesus every day. Of course, the stubborn chief refused, but his wife knew it to be their last resort. So she set out dutifully to read and pray every day. And within 2 months, she discovered she was pregnant. It was an easy transition to believe in the reality and truth of Jesus, and her husband became convinced as well. After the birth of their son, the village chief contacted the pastor and requested he visit again and pray for them. The minister agreed, then boldly pressed for more. He told the chief he would come, but that he also wanted to arrange a 3-day retreat and request all villagers to attend. The chief agreed and made the necessary arrangements. So the team visited the village about 2 weeks ago for the retreat, holding gospel meetings as well. And about 150 locals showed up, including family members of the village chief from other nearby communities and another village chief. The meeting took on a festive atmosphere and the Holy Spirit showed up gloriously, and each and every person accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And on the fourth day, they baptized all the new believers. And lo and behold, a new Assembly for the Loving God Church was born. The leader from the neighboring community then asked the team to come visit his village as well, so off the missionaries went. They held 2 days of gospel meetings and saw over 70 people accept Christ as Lord. They were baptized and another church came into being. And by this time, some of the local Hindu population converged on the new believers, waving their saffron flags and chanting Hindu and anti-Christian slogans. But they proved no match for the new Christians, who joined forces and chased them away without incident. At the request of a former Muslim family in a region further afield, the team then journeyed to meet up with 4 Muslim families, and they held several days of prayer and fasting, with even many other local Muslims joining in. By the fast end, 7 families put their faith in Jesus, along with 13 other followers of Islam. All were soon baptized, and then a third church for the Assembly of the Living God was formed. And so you want to remember to pray for these churches and for the Lord's protection, and that more people in India will be saved.
Well, you know, we've talked about how the Lord is moving. And now these assemblies of the loving God. Now, this ministry
is it loving by, God or living? I thought it was living God, the loving God,
could,
assembly of the loving God. I think you're right.
So, at any rate, it is the main people there, from the top to those who become ministers, are all ex. Muslims in many cases, and we have reported on the miracles that's going on in some of the most persecuted areas. And even when we're reporting in Egypt, we quoted some of the local pastors there. And they were concerned that many in the West only see the persecution and the troubles. And many of these overseas, the one thing that they want people to know is in the midst of the persecution, God is saving people. And we've tried to focus on that as well as reporting the problems, because we want you to know that in spite of the persecution, people are coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Praise God. And it seems like when the persecution is ramped up, then people really come in.
Yeah,
you know,
and
to
that's
the Lord.
Also,
really, a lot of people get saved.
That's also when the persecution is at its worst, when they're facing death, life-threatening situations. We've reported on miraculous interventions
yes,
by the Lord
God.
And so
yes.
This is something for the Western Church to understand what is going on in the world. And, you know, we talked about that guy in North Korea who was going out and witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can get him killed, but he doesn't care. Matter of fact,
right.
I read an article here about North Korea today or yesterday, and they were talking about the fact that North Korea considers Christians enemy of the state and spies for America. And that's pretty much the way a lot of them believe that. That's even probably behind China's persecution. Because out of America and even out of the UK, there's been a lot of missionaries and people go out over the years. So they could easily say that. Now, in one that I'm looking at now, this comes out of Mission Network News, who is actually quoting a story from Open Doors. It considers a young man, he's 28 years old, by the name of Amir. And he's a gardener, and he lives in Pakistan, and he's a Christian. And, well, let's put it this way. He's still a Christian. It's just that he's not on this earth anymore.
Oh.
He was brutally beaten and murdered by the authorities themselves. And the evidence is blatant, according to Open Doors. But the thing of it is, the family picked him up after he had been tortured for days. He was alive only for a few hours to tell his story because his employer accused him of theft. So, you know, there's no due process. So what they do is they get in there and then these cops literally beat the hell out of you till you confess. And even if they don't confess and the police agree with them, and this is the same thing for, when you look at India as well, it works about the same way. They try to convince the Christians not to press charges against the Muslims, so it won't cause hard feelings in the villages. The bottom line of it is Pakistan is one of those countries we relate all the time about persecution. And they also are a country that promotes religious freedom. Matter of fact, so does India. But you wouldn't know it from the persecution. Not at all. So what has happened, especially in Pakistan, is the radicalization has gone on. Therefore, Christians are persecuted, and we cover this a lot. So pray for Pakistan, pray for the family of Amir, and remember the persecuted church in these areas. Some of the worst countries of persecution, there are areas that we're seeing the miraculous, and there's other areas that haven't come full circle yet to get to that point. But, the bottom line of it is this is a horrendous story, and we come up with more stories, true stories of Christians that wind up in the authorities' hands and either get put in jail, face the death penalty, or like this young man, he got the hell beat out of him and he wound up dead.
What's really sad? Is he leaves behind his wife and two sons, a 7-year-old boy, and the other boy is just 14 days old. And it's tragic that he'll never get to know his dad and what a wonderful Christian he was.
That is the shame. And I was going to say,
tragic.
I said beat the hell out of him. Actually, there was no hell in him. There was heaven in him. They just beat him up. Amir cast hell out of him a long time ago when he received Christ. So there is a difference. And it's unfortunate.
It's sad. Yeah.
And remember the Lord's promise. If you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you will find it.
That's right. Amen. Yep. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, now we're ready for flee, convert, or die.
Okay, this is a story out of Barnabas Aid. And it's about the Burkina Faso Christians. And this is what they hear all the time. stop doing the church services and turn to Islam, you and your congregation, or you will visit, or we will visit you and kill you. So that's what they hear all the time. Well, this was sent to Barnabas Aid and to a pastor there, and he and his extended family fled just in time. But four other local Christians were killed a few hours later when the terrorists arrived. And Christians are the primary target of these terrorists. And the violence began in Burkina Faso in 2015. But in 2019, Christians became the primary target of these terrorists. Clinging faithfully to Christ, at least 59 of his followers have been killed by terrorists this year, singled out because of their active commitment to the Lord. Thousands of others have fled. And Barnabas Aid has not heard of any who were converted to who have converted to Islam. And the men of violence, better armed than the Burkina Faso army, are infiltrating from neighboring Mali. They have declared they will kill all the Christians in Burkina Faso except any who become Muslim. And if the world continues to do nothing, the results will be the elimination of the Christian presence, said a senior church leader. We are desperate and we need help. We don't have money, nor food, nor house, nor land to grow crops, which is how most people in Burkina Faso feed themselves. How can we live like this? We are desperate and we need help. We are tired and sick almost every day. And this appeal came from the Burkina Faso Christians to Barnabas Aid. They're displaced and destitute. And the Christians need our help. They have nothing. And their farm animals and their food stocks from the last harvest have been left behind, most likely burned by the terrorists or slaughtered. So we need to remember the Christians in Burkina Faso.
Remember, you can go to Barnabas Aid and you can give towards that.
BarnabasAid.org.
Yeah. They're a good organization. Yeah. They do get the help right down to the people. And this is one of the reasons, you know, we have a lot of organizations we try to tell you about. You know, these organizations need your financial help and your prayers. And if you're already helping an organization and giving to the Lord, that's up to you. You give according as your heart is attuned and guided by the Lord. And that's all there is to it. On this show here, we want to remind you that there are people that need help. And I feel the anguish of this pastor.
Oh, me too. It's heart-wrenching.
Most of these governments are so unstable. We see this even in Nigeria, which is supposed to be solid. But yet they cannot defeat and take care of the issues with the Fulani nor with Boko Haram. And there's been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christians murdered there. And over the years, ever since Buhari lost the election, Jonathan Goodluck Johnson lost and Buhari got in, it's been a nightmare over there. And then it's the same way in many other nations. Most of the time, the people doing the murdering are into drug trade and other things. They got plenty of money. They've got better weapons, better vehicles, better armed. And that's the way it is. And we talked about that many years ago about Nigeria, who was outgunned by Boko Haram. And that's just all there is to it. So this does not look good for these people. And, America cannot you know, govern the world. You know, we can't be the world's policeman in every country, but you've got a body of United Nations of, and most, and there's a big body of Muslim nations in that United Nations. You would think somebody up there would care, you know, about another human being and try to find a way to secure the area. But so many times we report on this and things go on and nobody does anything. And that's the way it is. And the people that do something, like, you know, a lot of these, you know, we've reported on, there's a lot of organizations, they're Christian based, and there's also humanitarian and agencies, and they're usually the only civilization of protection and healing that these people ever have, is someone that'll come into the area at risk of their own life to bring aid and help and comfort. And that's how bad our nation is, our world is today in many areas. It is perilous. And it's not just Christianity, as we pointed out, but Christianity is on the genocidal watch right now. We've talked about it. We've reported on it. Now, we want to talk about this next one, is the Mideast war imminent. We've been warning, quoting the generals, the military bigwigs in Israel over several years now, because everything is ramped up with Iran. And not too long ago, there was a meeting between Russia, Turkey, and Iran. I think there was one more in there. And they were meeting in the Middle East concerning all the problems going on. Now, in the meanwhile, of course, in Saudi Arabia, the oil facility was blown up. Iran was accused, and Israel came out and said they will, I mean, Saudi came out and said that they will have absolute proof that Iran is behind the attacks. That's what they said. So we have a Middle East now with Israel as well having troubles with Iran, having troubles with Hezbollah, and the rockets coming over from Lebanon. And you have a lot of issues here, and this whole region is becoming just like gas laid out, you know, poured out on the ground, and someone's ready to throw a match on it. And this is really what it's getting, because even President Trump and Vice President Pence reiterated. Pence further went on to say that, you know, we do not want war, but we stand ready. And Trump said they were locked and loaded, you know, to go after Iran. There's people that want to go after Iran. Nevertheless, and the whole issue of it, Iran has been a bully. They have been a spreader of terrorism. We know this. But behind Iran is Russia. So if you take on Iran, you're going to take on Russia. And if you take on Iran and Russia, you're also going to have major problems in America as well, because Iran and Russia both. And there is also a blood covenant, I guess you could say a non-aggression treaty, between Russia and China. So conceivably, China could join Russia in this and all go against the U.S. And so if Israel gets attacked, America very likely could get involved in it, and very likely it could be pretty rough over here on our shores. So we don't want war, but as far as Iran goes, they're willing to create the end of the world apocalypse in order to bring in the Mahdi. That's what they're doing. That's what they intend to do. They've always intended to do it. Years ago, we were talking about the Mahdi when Ahmadinejad was in there. So it hasn't changed. The goals are the same. And, you know, a leopard doesn't change its spot.
That's right.
So at any rate, so pray for Israel, you know, pray that this thing will die down, pray that it'll all work out. But one day it is all going to, you know, boom.
Yes, but, it will.
You know. So at any rate, we do have another one that Tara's going to read. This is about something coming to America.
This is, we got this from CBN News, Christian Broadcast Network. It's about Torben Sondergaard and his family fled Denmark for America this year, like refugees fleeing a war zone, leaving with only what they could carry in 8 suitcases. And Torben is the founder of the Last Reformation, a worldwide movement which seeks to return Christianity to the Book of Acts. He also began the Jesus Center in Denmark, which trained disciples from 30 nations to spread the message around the world. And attacks against his ministry in Denmark began in 2016 when the Jesus Center was investigated by 6 different Danish government agencies, from everything, you know, for everything from food safety to unpaid taxes, and the officials found nothing wrong. And last year, the government began to investigate their family when they began homeschooling. Then they put their daughter back into public school, but it didn't stop the investigations, and the worst was yet to come. Torben Sondergaard's life and ministry would take a dramatic turn when Danish TV approached him and said it wanted to profile his ministry. And he thought that sounded like a very positive thing to do, but it wasn't. The Danish TV sent a film crew, and they also sent 2 undercover reporters, one who said he wanted to follow Jesus and was even baptized, and another who pretended to be mentally ill. The resulting documentary on national TV called God's Best Children lumped Torben in with other so-called radical Christian ministries that had serious moral or ethical failures or even criminal activity. Torben said, when I saw that I was like, I'm finished, no one will ever trust me again. And he watched in horror as he saw himself depicted on national TV as a liar, as an abuser of children, and the mentally unstable through healings and so-called exorcisms, and as a quack who takes medicine away from the sick. He says he's never done that. And he said he's been doing his ministry for 18 years and he never had a problem. I never had complaints. Of course, there was misunderstandings. Many people got hurt and so on, like other churches and every other ministry. But when these programs started, it just changed the whole atmosphere in Denmark. It was like, we need to leave Denmark. This is not going to stop. And so he became a punching bag on Danish TV as guests of news shows push for a new law against Christians who allegedly afflicted mental violence on children through healings and deliverances. He was already labeled as guilty in the minds of people for something he had nothing to do with. He was a marked man, viewed as a very dangerous person by his countrymen. He was worried about that he would lose his children during the final 3 weeks in Denmark. He says he never left his home. He told us tearfully, we had people starting to call us and say that you have to leave Denmark now because they're not going to stop. They want to continue getting you down. So Torben bought tickets to America, and 2 days later they packed what they could in 8 suitcases and left with their children to America. Said it was very stressful, and now the Jesus Center is closed, and they had 800,000 square feet center in Denmark. And he said everything is closed down. And the Sondergaards have appealed to the U.S. government for political asylum. Torben has testified in a sworn affidavit that if he returns to Denmark, he risks being imprisoned and having his minor daughter removed from the family. The Danish Press Council has ruled that Torben was misled by the journalist who made the documentary, but there is no government agency in Denmark that can give Torben his reputation back or guarantee his freedoms if he returns. So now he just waits to see if his request will be approved, and he hopes and dreams of starting a Jesus Center like the one in Denmark here in America. He says, I also have a message to people in America that we need to be prepared. We need to be alert, Torben said. To say that this would never happen in America, that is a lie. I have said the same thing about Denmark. This is going to come to America. You'd never thought you would have seen it in Denmark.
Well, Denmark has had a lot of problems this way, and that was an 80,000 square foot, not 800,000.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
But at any rate, that's a look at what's happening in Denmark. We're going to have to close. We've just got a few minutes left. So go ahead and say your goodbyes or whatever you got to do, and then we'll get out here.
Well, be sure to join us tomorrow night for Battle Lines for Part 17, Holy Mountain Righteousness, Isaiah's Prophetic Book. And that's Part 17 on Battle Lines. And we want to thank you for joining us. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for all you do for the Lord. And we pray for you that God may bless you richly. Good night, everyone.
Yes, and don't forget, stop by warn-usa.com, danaglynsmith.com. And until tomorrow, this is the Watchman. Shalom, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to this episode of
The Warn Radio.